Pastor Ron Moore serves at the South Hills Bible Chapel, and he was sharing a story about his family that points us to the Lord. His youngest daughter wanted a puppy at one time, a puppy dog, and who doesn't like puppy dogs? And so she said, please, 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 can I have a puppy? I'll be a friend to the puppy. I will work with the puppy every day. I will love the puppy, and you know the puppy will love me, and that's important to be loved. And so she really threw herself in it, heart, soul, mind, and strength. She started to research puppies, you know, sizes, and even the cost. What would it cost to have a puppy? You're going to have to invest, you know, daily in that, and also something right up front. And she even wrote a school report on what it means to have a puppy. And so couldn't get the puppy off her mind. Breakfast time, all the way to, you know, the last stop before you go to bed. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that puppy that's on the way. And what she really went through in her soul was something that is a pretty good picture of how Christians think of Jesus. That we, it's hard to get him off our minds. Once we get to know him, you know, first thing in the morning, probably within moments, we realize, okay, it's a day God has made. It's a chance to walk with him. Last stop before we go to bed, thank you, Lord, you got me through the day, or thank you, Lord, it was a good day. And the moments in between, we can write a report, you know, on the Lord, what he means to us. And so once he catches your soul, who he is, we say, oh, he's Lord. We'll give our top love, our love beyond all loves to him. And Paul's writing to Colossians. He's saying, hey, there's a lot of falsehood in the world. There's a lot of lies, even in our own souls. We could fool ourselves. You know, someone said, guess who the easiest person to fool is? Well, it's yourself, you know. And God can open our eyes, help us see him as he is, so we can see ourselves as we are. And Paul presents Jesus as the one who's God the Son, who can handle the focus the affection of our heart on him, begin to put life under his care and under his trust and obedience, that we trust him and obey him. So here's some old-time teachers, what they said about this passage in Colossians 1. J. Vernon McGee, he was a good old-timer. He said, this passage, lofty and exalted, a grand section describing the Lord. So something grand, something true. And John Wesley, when he responded to this, he just wrote a song. He said, you, O Christ, are all I want, more than all in you I find. So there's a heart satisfaction putting your trust in Christ. Another person said, Jesus is supreme over all things, that what the passage says. Life and death, good and bad, visible and invisible, over all evil and the devil himself, as explained in Job chapter 1, chapter 2, the whole book of Revelation, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and many other places. Okay, Jesus over all evil and the devil himself, as explained in Job chapter 1, chapter 2, and the book of Revelations and so forth. Now, this is way before Jesus was even born. Died on the cross, rose from the dead, not back yet, still over all evil and over any rebellion against him. So this passage honors the Lord as God the Son, and 100% God, 100% man. If you had a friend who was wondering, I don't know what to believe about Jesus. What does the Bible say about him? This passage is a good one to turn to. Colossians 1. There's a couple others that really focus on the grandeur of Christ. Colossians 1, John 1, Hebrews 1. Easy to remember. Just got to kind of keep that, write that in. Where do I show my friend, you know? Colossians 1, John 1, Hebrews 1, and Philippians 2. So there's some things you could tuck away and be ready for the good faith that is in you, if you would. So, Charles Spurgeon, when he looked at this passage, he said this, shows the greatness of the Lord beyond our capacity to comprehend. So our hearts are drawn. Our 3.5-pound brains can, you know, love the Lord, but it's going to be 3.5 pounds worth, okay? So stay humble with your high IQ over there. And then Spurgeon went on to say, Jesus' arm holds the stars of heaven and holds you close to himself. His praises are given by angels every day. And a chorus of thanks goes to the center of heaven where he is. He reigns supreme above all creatures. And we have a chance to trust him, know him, receive him, spend eternity with him. It's quite a thing that Jesus is the basis of all reality. And that's what Paul presents here. And he's the source, sustainer, and purpose of everything that is. So if you want to know, I wonder what my life's all about. What's my relationship with my present or future Valentine, you know? He is the explanation for all of that. And from morals to our thought life, to government, to ethics, to entertainment, anything you could name, he is the explanation of it. That's quite a, you might say, well, that's a lot to put on the Lord. He can handle it. That's for sure. And so to know Jesus like that, how he is, don't put any limitations on him. If you're like me, you're going to look at the world and you're going to say, oh boy, this is horrible. Evil has run amok. It's totally out of control. There's a lion in the streets. Run for cover, everybody. I hope the Lord comes back today because we're sinking fast. We appreciate the human perspective. God remembers our frame. We are dust. But he's Lord of all, right now, every square inch of creation. So he has the whole world in his hands. You and me, brother, you and me, sister, little tiny ones, and et cetera, et cetera. So the, Jesus as the basis of all reality. Let's look at what the Holy Spirit and Apostle Paul said about our good Lord. We can put our trust in him. He's the image of the invisible God. So God, who we can't see, became visible. God the Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's pretty incredible. And people, most people who give an honest look to Jesus, give their hearts to him. Because he's so amazing and wonderful. How could we turn away, you know? Even Pilate, who knew Jesus probably for about an hour, said, I find no fault in this man. Okay. And so, would you give your heart to him? There are people, modern authors like Lee Strobel, Thoughts About the Lord, newspaper reporter, looked at Christ and said, he's God, come as a man. Or C.S. Lewis, wonderful professor of English, you know, came to believe in Jesus. Those kind of folks. You and I can be that way. We could say, he is God made visible, God the Son. And so we could share that with others in his good book, the Bible. Also said about the Lord, firstborn over all creation. If you're over creation, that means you weren't created. Firstborn over all creation. First rank. In that culture, it was like the firstborn was like the big leader in the house next to the parents. How many firstborns are in here? I pretty much can tell who the firstborns are. Okay. Yeah. They got a little extra zippity doodah on their step. Okay. And Paul's saying, hey, it's the Jesus, the first rank over all creation. Doesn't mean he's created, you know, like the dear Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons say. That's not who he is. He is God the Son. Come. So give all the honor to him that you'd give to God. And here's another thing said about the Lord. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. If you want to know what the purpose of your life is, okay. You exist to bring attention and adoration to God. When people look at you, they say, God's wonderful. Look at that person, you know. Look at what they could do. Or look how messed up they are, and it shows that God exists because we feel a compassion for the brokenness and those things. But we exist to bring attention and adoration to the Lord. I got to be at a lot of weddings, you know, as a pastor. I got the front seat. And the groomsman, or the groom, rather, the groom and the bride. And then who takes care of them? Good part of the day. It's the best man and all them guys, and it's the maid of honor and all those gals. Okay, they're not there for them. They're there for the groom and the bride. When I was the best man for my brother's wedding, and I thought, oh, you know, this is the best I've ever looked with this tuxedo on. And got to get my hair combed. And I thought, this is going to be a wonderful day for capital M, capital E. But it's for my brother. Get this, get the ring. Make sure everything's fine. Do this, do that. Glad to do it. It's for him. That's you and me for the Lord. John the Baptist said, hey, I'm not the groom. I'm here to honor the groom. Your life too. You're not there for you. That's bad, you know. When you're there for you, people say, the guy's there for himself. Ugh. Same with the gals. But oh, for God. Now that's something. For God. And I've seen brides, what do you call it, the maid of honor, help the bride. Now the bride in the story is other Christians or the church. And the maid of honor, she's decked out pretty good. Okay. It's probably the best she's going to look all year as far as the, you know, your nice dress and everything. She's not going to wear that dress to work on Monday. So she's pretty excited. But what does a good maid of honor do? I've seen maids of honor who were dressed to almost like, you know, Princess Diana, Lord rest her soul. But the maid of honor, they get down on their hands and knees to help the bride. You know, they say, let me take the flowers. Let me help you with this. Let me straighten this out for you. They're crawling all over the floor. I'm thinking, that's a good maid of honor right there. She's doing everything possible to help the bride. That's you. And that's me. We'll do everything possible to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? Because we're there for them. And they're there for the groom. And oh boy, this is all things created by Jesus and for Jesus. Your whole life could look like a wedding. Honoring the Lord. And so Paul's saying, this is what life's all about. And then Paul also brags about the Lord. He says, in Christ all things hold together. Broken hearts, God can put those back together. If all of us wrote the story of the brokenheartedness of what we've gone through, it would be a best-selling drama. Would be getting the award tonight when they give out those awards, you know. I said, now here's an award for somebody who walked through some deep heartache right here. That's for sure. But Jesus has held you together. Helps you know He cares, He loves, He forgives. On a practical level, He'll take your family at whatever level it is and put it back together under Him. In the most difficult problems of humanity, there's not a week goes by that somebody doesn't tell us about opioid crisis, either personally or you see it on TV. And, in drug rehab, which is a really good ministry, we applaud them, places like Gateway and other places. They try to help people who can't change without God's power, that's for sure. But they can't change. And even in those good places, there's about a 20% recovery rate. Now, that's not very good. If you had some illness and they said 20% likely you'll get better, you'd think, ugh. You know. And there's same kind of recovery goes on with Christian love and leadership the group called Teen Challenge that works with young adults and teenagers, and their recovery rate is 90%. 90%. Now, what's the difference between 20% and 90%? It's because in Christ, things are held together. Changes can happen beyond a human understanding of things. That's the good Lord. He cares about these people. And then Paul's saying again, he's the one. Put your trust in him. He's number one in every experience you're having. And also, the Lord is head of the body, the church. That's a wonderful gift. He could have just left us on our own. We'd be like, we'd be looking worse than we do, you know. But he's the head of the body, the church. And you know what? If Christians love the church like Jesus loved the church, it would be a revolution, a cultural revolution. If Christians love the church like Jesus loved the church. And we just do that because he loves believers, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. So you ask for that heart. Why? Because Jesus is the head of that, brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, churches have a lot of problems. I'm going to take a risk and quote an old-time preacher. You know, and sometimes you go and you try different ones. Maybe I should ask for your forgiveness ahead of time. But it goes like this. If every place you go to stinks, maybe it's you. Okay? Sorry. Blame the old-time preacher. So here's the point. If every church you go to stinks, maybe it's you. That can happen. But Jesus, head of the body, the gathered people. Okay, and then he has the supremacy. First place in all things. No rivals. You could take the best human being that we know. And at that, way back when, it was John the Baptist. He was following God, losing his head, so what? So John the Baptist said this. He said, I'm not even fit to untie Jesus' sandals. So we can take all the humanity, and here we are, right in line, and we look at the Lord and we say, you know, he's so wonderful. We're not even fit to untie his sandals. We just want to say, thank you, Lord, and let's worship him. This is who he is. This is the Christian life. And for you and I, we only have two choices, okay? We can see man is at the center of things. We go out there and we say, oh, look at them. Look what my people are doing. You know, it's a mess out there. And even Friday, driving around, I'm thinking, where's those plows? Where's those workers? Where's? And instead of saying, God will be with you, you know, whatever's going on. In a simple trial or a big one, you can see man is the center of things. You'll be a nervous wreck all the way to heaven if you see this. Man was at the center of things all the whole way. I feel bad for believers when we get this. You know, we're trapped by our own perspective. You're working with 3.5 pounds. We remember. So we are not the center of things. Nor is humanity out there, or see Jesus as the center of things. He's the explanation of all of reality. And we say, we honor you today, Jesus. There are people who look and say, I wonder if I should turn to the Lord. And they read of him that he said, son, your sins are forgiven to a hurting man. He said, Father, forgive them. They'll know what they're doing when he hung on the cross. He said, all authority in heaven on earth is given to me. Oh, my word. He didn't say, I'll get that someday when I come back. No, he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to him. That was 33 AD. Now, don't miss history. Run by him. Otherwise, again, you'll be a nervous wreck. He's the explanation for all science. That we can think God's thoughts after himself. For all art and music. You know, every piece of art and every piece of music either honors Christ or at least gives testimony to the fact, God seems to be missing from that, you know. We sense there's something missing for family life. And please, you take this from the Bible, okay, and do it only with Jesus' love. Every family's broken. But if man tries to redefine family life, and he said, this is family, guy marries guy, gal marries gal. And if men say, this is family life, we're not the creator of family life. Jesus is. And even if people have struggles, you know, on attractions and things, they can put that before God, and he can help them have a family under the Bible. And it really doesn't matter what presidential candidates say or five guys on the Supreme Court or, good heavens, it used to be if you struggled, you know, you were kind of, you persevered and said, oh, I'm just going to do the best I can. But now, I saw two presidential, advertisements. And we respect people who serve. Two presidential advertisements. In a 30-second commercial, that was in the forefront. We are for this. That's like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. I'm defying what God said. And, you know, we feel bad. We better show love, or we're just going to be like a noisy bugle in the midst of all kind of pain and difficulties. Same deal comes with the gift of life. Saw two commercials also. It used to be if you were pro-choice, you were kind of, we feel bad for everybody. We hope this doesn't happen a lot in terms of abortions. You know, we hope this doesn't happen a lot. We're so sorry about all of this. This is very painful, et cetera, et cetera. But now, in a 30-second commercial, right out front, we're for, you know, the message is we're for abortion all the time for any reason. And we'll have the government pay for it, you know. And Jesus, he's the explanation of life. He's the author of life. He's saying, don't jump out of that plane without a parachute. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. And you know what? The best ministries to broken people, whether it's family life or pro-life things, are people who have gone through great brokenness and tragedy. Like we've had speakers who have had abortions, and they come and say, this is how we try to help people and honor life. It's like given from God, not just something, you know, man's people-centered in some manner. And to watch out for the poor, God says, there's poor. You've got to watch out for them. You've got to be a good Samaritan. That's when you'll honor the Christ who's great. And the Lord's whole being, you know, we often think as Christians, that'll never work in the world, you know. Too impractical, too ideal, too whatever. Give you three examples. You can go visit them today. You can go visit 10,000 young people who hang out at Liberty University, okay. And they're not perfect, but from the top to the bottom and like three-quarters of the student body, they say, we're trying to follow the King of Kings, Jesus, and we're going to help each other out. And they do it. And they do it competently. And they do it in a great way. So it works in life, this following Jesus. Or if you like a smaller example, Grove City College, Geneva College, not perfect, same deal. Bunch of young people, ages 18 to 22, we're trying to follow God together. We do it imperfectly. And that's you at your work. That's hopefully every church in town, you know, with to honor Christ, King of Kings. So we turn to God, and in closing, we remember He has all authority. He could call 12 legions of angels to help. He decides to do it through drawing people to Himself. We could say, you know, Pascal said he's the center. If we don't know that, we don't know anything, pretty much. And God gives a promise. Surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. You could have a purpose of being for Jesus. Why would you want to live for yourself? Even the atheist thinks that's shallow. You know, well, you live for yourself. Even that turns off the atheist, even. But to live for Christ, I'll deliver you for a good purpose. If you repent, I'll restore you that you may serve me. I will save you from the wicked and the cruel. Plenty of wicked and cruel. God will save us from that, even if it's in our own soul. And we say, Lord, help, restore us, I'll return, because you are the Lord my God. I wanted to give a simple invitation this morning. As we close, we'll sing that we're satisfied with Christ. But if you'd like to say, I never received Jesus as the purpose of my life, that he's my creator and savior, and I would like to do that. And also, if you're a Christian, you're kind of, you live in a man-centered world. You live in a you-centered world. And you're right, it's ugly to see that. But it's not really the way life is. Life is Christ, Christ-centered world. You could come and pray. We'll probably just have people pray for the person next to him. And if anybody wants to say, well, hey, he's everything. Everything's created by him and for him. And me too. Me too, Lord, that I'll trust and follow you. Let's pray and then sing. Lord, thank you for this passage. It says, you're God the Son, and all things created by you and for you. That's everybody in this room. So we're pretty impressed with everybody here today and all throughout the earth. All these dear people you love, it's amazing. So show your love to us. Help us to surrender our lives to you. If anybody would like to pray with another or just say, Jesus is very good and I want to belong to him forever, they could come and just be with others in a prayer time. Bless everybody real good. In Jesus' name, amen.